Hello and welcome to Gaming News Weekly. I'm Gareth.
And I'm Matt.
There's been lots happening this week, Matt. We've got people being held to ransom. We've got our news coming down in front of us as we assumed a Switch port was coming. And oh, were we disappointed. Yeah,
our hot take wasn't so hot.
Yeah, far from hot. Far from hot. First off, how you doing, man? You good?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I am a little disappointed that our amazing hot take ended up super cold, and Microsoft isn't a huge listener to our podcast and decided to shift their attention over to the Switch. But I mean, oh well. At least what we're getting from that news is still good, but a little disappointed.
Yeah, Phil must have missed this episode. Phil, if you're listening to this episode, we did ask for the Master Chief Collection to go to the Switch.
We forget
that. Would just be awesome. So we've got lots to cover this episode. Guys, we just wanted to take a minute. On reflection with our last episode, we talked a lot about Google Stadia. We had Ruben, who was on with us, who was brilliant. Love you, Ruben. You were great. Thanks for jumping into the episode with us last week. We talked about Google Stadia an awful lot last week, and it came up a lot. And we always pride ourselves on being, or as we like to think, very funny. And I still think we are very funny, Matt. We are quite funny. We just wanted to say, on reflection, we were quite harsh towards Google Stadia. Harsh, and that's purely based on the fact of what we were saying regarding gameplay experience-wise. We're just wanting to get it over to you guys that we've not personally experienced Google Stadia. So on that, we can't necessarily comment firsthand on the experience people will have playing Google Stadia, of which some reports we've seen, Matt, have been overwhelmingly positive, you know, in certain places.
Yeah, there has been overwhelming positive reactions to Stadia and the way it plays. And maybe a lot of our negative connotations come from that a more broader audience seems to have a less than favorable experience with it. But what Gareth is trying to get across, that we have not personally played it. So though I in particular have been harsh on Stadia about the gameplay, I have not personally played it. I have just read what most other people have read online about some of their negative experiences. But like Gareth said, there are plenty of people who do love Stadia and probably swear by it because it is a great piece of tech. And though I'm harsh on it, I think every time I've mentioned Stadia, I do mention that I do think that tech in that way is the future of gaming. Though it isn't now or maybe sometime in the future, it is a great piece of tech that could grow and become more stable and better playing. And we were talking about that you saw there's multiple sites that are doing like updated reviews of Stadia and that have actually come out saying that it is a more positive experience than it was when it first launched, right?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, places like such as GameRanks have come out and done re-reviews. And I think that's great. And I think that's really positive for that community, for that software. And like you say, Matt, that leads to the future. You know, Xbox, like you touched on last week, Xbox are doing it. You know, Sony has always sort of dabbled in a sort of cloud streaming software anyway, as it used to be through that PlayStation Now service. And like you said, Nintendo might be looking at it. But I think the critical thing here is we aren't taking back what we said about Google Stadia last week. We do think that them stopping or ceasing to make exclusive games or put their effort into that, we still feel that's a disappointment. We still feel bad for those guys who are potentially out of a job or being forced to find another job within Google. We still think that is bad. We feel for those guys. But actually, it doesn't particularly matter because Google Stadia hasn't really promised anything, hasn't actually come up with, you know, as much as it's promised. You know, like I even joked in last week's episode regarding the search functionality. So we just wanted to, you know, on reflection, we listen back to this episode, we always do, And you know, we're learning, we're growing in what we're doing here on Gaming News Weekly, and we just wanted you guys to know that we don't have that gaming experience of Google Stadia, so we couldn't we can only give you secondhand opinions on how that plays. Nintendo, Xbox, oh, we can talk all day about our experiences firsthand of that, but we just wanted you guys to be aware of that. Because we care that you know about those things, and we want you guys to respect our opinions, and you need to know where that opinion's coming from, I guess. So
and like you said, we're only drawing on from secondhand experience gameplay wise, but we're not retracting our statements regarding the Stadia business model, which we have discussed that it was not a great business model. It still isn't a great business model. And we compare it to xCloud, and xCloud, their stream service isn't the best either, but it complements the console and the PC, which is stable. So though we haven't done much gameplay and it's just more of a researching thing, we're not retracting any of our statements. We might have just been a little more harsh on it than people who have not actually done gameplay on it before. But we're not retracting any of our statements, but we wanted to be upfront about this.
Absolutely, yeah. And to wrap up, we're also not going to retract any comments regarding Davila. He does definitely buy games at full price, as they're about to go on to Game Pass. He does love microtransactions, and we love the guy. Absolutely, he's a legend. Enough of that. Matt, let us know, what have you been playing this week?
You know what? You're going to be super surprised that I have not been playing a whole lot. There is mainly...
Hot take, people. Hot take.
Hot take. Everyone, relax. I haven't been playing a whole lot. Really, the only two games are actually both Ubisoft-related. So the first one is still Immortal. Phoenix Rising. I put a whole lot more time into that. It's still an amazing game, and I still encourage everyone to play it. I'll touch on that a little bit more, because I think me and Gareth have both agreed on placing this game later in the podcast, similar to what we did last week. So I'll touch on the other game that I played a little bit. I jumped back into The Division 2 for a little bit. So the main draw that made me come back to it was twofold, is that first, the Resident Evil event is going on, where they put out the cosmetics for Resident Evil characters. If you just log on during... I think before February 15th, you get the full outfit of Leon. So that's what brought me back in. There's no real in-game events, because there was, I guess the production just didn't line up to where it was going to make the deadline. So they just pushed out only the cosmetics portion of it. But it did its job, because it brought me back on, and I went into the dark zone. I killed agents, but I also was aided by agents, and... it was a great time. I've rekindled my little fire towards The Division 2, to the point where I actually went and bought Warlords of New York. It was on a deep discount. I think I got it for like $7. But I ended up investing back into it, because I really enjoyed the little bit of time that I did play it before I jumped back into Immortals. It is a very solid game. It's a gorgeous game, solid game, a fun game, and it is a game that does the loot 'em and shoot 'em game very, very well. It does it far better than Anthem did, and it's probably the loot 'em shoot 'em game that I will hold most other games to a standard, especially after they have continued to update it and make it better and bigger. Now that brings me to my next point of, they did this because they have also come out saying that they are going to continue updating The Division 2. If anyone follows The Division 2, this last big update was supposed to be their last one. It was even called The End of Watch, which, if you guys know anything about that, it was going to be the last update. They were going to cut off support besides minor fixes, but I guess because a thriving community is still within The Division 2, and there's plenty of people, probably such as myself now, they're going to continue to support it with bigger game updates. I know that doesn't fall on deaf ears, because Gareth, you and I both bought The Division 2 when it was on a super deep discount, and we both ended up really enjoying it and even playing it, so I'm happy with it, and I can't wait to get back into it and jump into the DLC that I got.
Yeah, I mean, I just was looking at whether I think I'm going to download the Division 2 now, just maybe to try and see if I can...
You might as well. I'm already on it. That.
Yeah. I mean, something that always astounded me about that game was how, and same with the Division 1 as well, how incredibly good-looking that world was.
Gorgeous.
I mean, man, it looks so good. And actually, the character models look really good, and I cared what I was wearing.
Yeah. The animation.
Yeah, it just looked good. Yeah, yeah. And when you think back to, like, Tom Clancy's Advanced Warfighter, Future Soldier, you can see those mechanics, and then they end up in this incredible game like The Division and The Division 2. And Wildlands. And Breakpoint.
Not Breakpoint.
yes, Breakpoint. Unless you want to walk anywhere or open anything, and then sometimes it did get a bit funny. Cool, okay. Listeners, I'm going to be honest. I've played just more Immortals. I promise you I will get some more games in this week. I've just looked. I may, after a few weeks of discussing it quite a lot, jump into some Alan Wake.
Oh, finally.
So I'm going to jump into that. I wonder if I'll remember everything that happens. I wonder if it'll be a little less creepy. Who knows? I've been playing an awful lot of Immortals. Matt, how many hours do you think you've put into it, roughly?
I just saved the game last night. 35 hours? I jumped up.
Wow.
Yeah, I jumped up like 20 hours or so.
Well, you jumped about 5 hours ahead of me.
Oh.
How have you done that? Well, it must be the time difference.
That explains everything.
Yeah. Why are you better at games than me? I have tried to make a conscious effort to do some more of the game.
Yep, me too.
Bored and then...
Yeah.
Yeah. Some more Ambrosia. That's basically... I've been playing that game like mad. I want to touch on... I mentioned microtransactions last week. I don't think that was unfounded. Hermes, I think, probably bugs me even more. I'm further in the game now. Something I wasn't aware of is that he actually sells Zeus's Lightning, which, for those of you who haven't played the game, you can use that to... You use that. That's what you collect to increase your stamina. And I did think, I was like, oh man, don't tell me that to fully upgrade your stamina, you are going to have to buy, using real money, I'm just going to say that, using real money, you're going to have to buy that Zeus's Lightning.
Hope not. I don't think so. I think it's one of Ubisoft, because they usually put it in their games like Assassin's Creed Odyssey, you know.
Boosters.
The booster shortcut things. Now, it might not mean a big difference, but the premium currency that you can buy that stuff with, because I have seen that too, you get that from doing like the daily challenges and the weekly challenges. It's not a lot, but it is enough to get some. But I do hope that you don't have to do those dailies or spend real money to get the full amount. And I don't think so, because... I have been perfectly fine with all of my stand up, but we've also been probably doing a lot of collectathoning around.
Yeah, I mean, my health is ridiculous. I just walk into fights and it's just like, hit me 33 times. It's fine. But anyway, still love the game like mad. Still loving it. I can't even tell you, Matt, that this game was born for the Switch. I'm not joking. This game was born for it.
And you say that, and we're talking so much about it because it's going to come up later, but you say that, and I can think When I play, because I got mine, for listeners that don't know, Gareth got his on the Switch and I got mine on the Xbox One X. And while I have no doubt the Xbox One X probably looks absolutely gorgeous and probably better than the Switch does, while this, I have no doubt that the Switch still looks amazing, that is probably the only difference. And I have actually played more of the Immortals streaming from my console to either my laptop or using the streaming service to my Xbox app on my phone, being able just to do the collectathoning on a more portable area, having the TV on and watching that while I play. So I can only imagine that I'm basically doing the same thing that the Switch is, just with different devices. So it is, I would say it is made for the Switch. And Ubisoft did really well with this one. It's going to be an underrated hit though, but we're going to give it more praise later, but they did well.
We did. They did. We did. We also yes, did well. We're doing well.
We are.
Another thing that I picked up from last week is it's Ubisoft, Matt.
Ubisoft? Same difference.
Ubisoft.
Ubisoft.
I think Ubisoft is a different business.
Look. Someone's probably going to give us a 1-star now just because you pointed that out in the reviews. This Matt guy can't pronounce Ubisoft.
Just kidding. Say it however you want it. Lovely. Right, well, that's what we've been playing. We've done what we always do, which is throw it into the Discord. We forgot to do it into the Facebook this week, but we'll do it into the Facebook as well. Thrown any questions out, any games you want us to talk about, any topics you want us to talk about. And as always, you guys don't disappoint. Ruben, I mean, I think he just wants to be in on every episode.
Yeah, that's his goal. That's his goal.
And that's fine. Matt is, on a knife edge. If he can say it correctly a few more times. Just kidding. Ruben threw a story at us, which leads us quite nicely into the news of the week. Some of you may have been aware that this week, Cyberpunk's creators at CD Projekt Red were held to ransom this week. I mean, it sounds like some, sort of spy stuff, something that you wouldn't expect to hear in the world of games, but we did. So we here have a story of basically some hackers. It's unclear who the hackers are, but they held CD Projekt Red to ransom because they obtained HR files, human resource files, legal documents. They got hold of information regarding employees. Most critically, in some way, they also claim to have got hold of The Witcher 3 and Cyberpunk 2077 source code. They left a note, which I thought was quite funny, that it was in Notepad. I mean, what? I don't know. Maybe I missed the point of how these things work, but why it wasn't in Word, I don't know. And it was quite a serious threat that they were going with. I'm just trying to find the original ransom note now. Effectively, they were warned that if they didn't do something by a certain date, this source code would be either released for free or would be sold on an auction. Matt, I mean, what do we think about this?
Man, CD Projekt Red just can't catch a break. They are just getting hit over and over again with just negative news. So like you said, I have read some other stories that say this is not done by a disgruntled gamer over the quality or the game of Cyberpunk 2077, that this is done by an actual group of, you know, hackers that do this for, you know, for their job, I guess. But it's sad to see this because they were trying to make good on CD Projekt Red, trying to Cyberpunk 27, trying to make it good again. And like you said, they made a play. The hackers told them that they wanted the money within 48 hours, so they're going to start releasing it. And CD Projekt Red's not negotiating with them. And they started releasing Gwent. They started releasing Cyberpunk 2077. They have the source code for The Witcher 3 up for sale. This is just... And while those games are out and it's open source, and I'm sure that they can do cease and desist orders wherever it pops up on, the real issue is what you mentioned, all the HR records and stuff like that, because that is personal information of all the employees that will harm them in the long term if they get out to the wrong people. So while it is a bad, if it's, since it is bad news for the CD Projekt Red, it's even worse for the employees because now their personal information is just not secure. We do wish them the best, because while not a lot of people can agree that Cyberpunk 27 was a success or not, which actually, linking back to Stadia, it actually played the best on Stadia, a lot of reports have said, just throwing that in there for a little tidbit of information. But back to, I mean, regardless of people agreeing on Cyberpunk 27 being a flop, being good or bad, we don't wish this bad stuff upon anyone. Even against EA, I would not want EA's employees' personal information being out there, or EA being held for ransom. Regardless of who you are, this is not good, and I feel bad for them. They're just getting rolled with punches lately, ever since Cyberpunk 2077, man.
Exactly, yeah. So the original threat, because that's what it was, you know, was that your source code will be sold or leaked online, and your documents, including investor relations, will be sent to our contacts in gaming journalism. Your public image will go down even more than it already is.
Yeah.
And people will see how expletive your company functions. Investors will lose trust in your company, and the stocks will dive even lower. You have 48 hours. I think, Matt, you've hit the nail on the head. This is not a positive thing. This is not good. Maybe they'll learn a lesson. That'll teach them for, you know, releasing a game that's got bugs. People's livelihoods are at risk here. People's, personal identity is at risk here. I was very glad to see CD Projekt Red had tweeted out, I think about a day after, to say, we've checked. Anybody who has previously worked for CD Projekt Red, we don't believe that their details have been taken, but they are at CD Projekt Red said, we recommend you putting fraud alerts on things, you know, just be careful, but they don't believe that they've been hit. This is not good. It's particularly bad when you see that the things, the source code appears to have been sold. It's now claimed that a satisfied offer was accepted. Nobody knows really the price, but they've paid enough, and so therefore the people who took it have taken it and bought it. I mean, yeah, this isn't good. And hopefully, like you say, they'll send out their cease and desist, and that should sort it. But this isn't the right, you know, we don't want to be reading these stories.
No.
You know, in this world of cybercrime, you know, becoming a bigger issue, man, it just shows you how careful these companies have got to be, because like you say, they would probably be okay with source code getting out, but personal details are not good. It's not good at all. So, moving on to our next story.
More Drift.
More Drift. Yeah, exactly. So, imagine this. You've just finally got hold of your PlayStation 5 from Matt for $1,000.
Business.
Business. So you've got hold of your PlayStation 5 from Matt, and you've plugged it in, you've been using it, and oh boy, they've done a Nintendo. They've done a Nintendo. Seeing that a law firm in the US is filing an action suit against Sony regarding PlayStation 5 DualSense Drift. Before we go any further into the story, I do actually want to point out, I am aware of somebody in the UK, I know of somebody who has experienced PlayStation 5 drift. It's not good. They're quite frustrated because I don't know enough about now what's happening. I've tried to contact them since. This is a real problem. Like we mentioned regarding the Nintendo drift, me and Matt, we've experienced zilch. We've had none of that. To quote this company, they're saying claims the DualSense is defective. Specifically, the DualSense controllers that are used to operate the PlayStation 5 contain a defect that results in characters or gameplay moving on the screen without user command or manual operation of the joystick. That is basically drift. This defect significantly interferes with gameplay and thus compromises the DualSense controller's core functionality. Matt, before I throw it over to you, this just reassures me that every single controller I have ever used when I've played an online multiplayer game has had drift. Because that can be the only thing that has ever interfered with my gameplay. Thus, it must be
the drift. That's going to be your excuse every time you die in Siege now.
Absolutely, yeah. So, Matt, go ahead. What on earth are we seeing this for? Is it cheap parts? What is it?
Going off of the parts first, the article actually reads that the PlayStation 5's controller is virtually the same components of the PlayStation 4. And the PlayStation 4 is not immune to drift. And like we mentioned with the Nintendo Switch, it's been reports that there's been drifts on there. We haven't experienced it. Though Sony's getting attacked and we put Nintendo on the spot, Microsoft has been under some class action lawsuits as well for their drifts. And I have experienced multiple drifts on my Xbox controllers, including my Xbox Elite controller, which is disheartening because those are more expensive. So this is an issue within the gaming industry. And then while you were sitting there talking, the more I thought about it is that this has always been an issue. Thinking back to the N64, that analog stick was like, I felt like you bought it and it was already broken and already drifting. Now doing the circle motions with Mario Party probably didn't help it at all. But this has been an ongoing issue. It's only gotten more problematic because the games are getting more sophisticated. You're going to have to get more precise with your aiming, more precise with the games. And honestly, I'm glad to see this because it's not biased, because Nintendo's getting hit with it, Sony's getting hit with it, Microsoft's getting hit with it, and it needs to be addressed. It's really, though I'm disheartened with my Xbox Elite controller doing it, I can't imagine your friend or any of the PS5 guys that the system's only been out for five, 6 months, a brand new next generation console, and the controller is unplayable. How disheartening and upsetting is that? That you've paid after you got past all the scalpers like me, and you were actually able to lock down a PS5 controller. I'm not a scalper. After you actually were able to lock down a PS5 system, and you play it for a few months, and then your controller's out of whack. What kind of that? It's really terrible on Sony's part. It really doesn't. It shows that they're trying to just push out the controllers with not trying to innovate or improve them, because PS4 showcased that there was drift on there. Xbox One showcased that they had drift on their controllers. Now, I haven't seen any Series X controllers have it yet, but I mean, if Sony's having the same issues with their next-gen consoles, I can only assume maybe Microsoft is probably going to have the same issue in the future. It just hasn't cropped up yet. They need to be improved upon. This is an old problem that should have been fixed by now, especially with how technology and these games have been evolving. How has this not been fixed? It's disheartening. It's disappointing. And I'm glad that some stuff is getting done to address this and put pressure on the companies to address it properly. Not just fix it for the people broken right now, but fix it for the future as well.
Exactly. And I think just to pull out from that story, Turner, who is one of the people behind the action suit, is said to have bought a PlayStation 5 on the 5th of February and experienced the DualSense drift on the same day.
Are you kidding?
He contacted Sony customer service and was advised to reset his console, which didn't work. Sometimes turning it off and on again doesn't work. Turner ended up buying another DualSense controller priced at $69.99 a few days later.
The same day.
The same day, yeah. I think, I know, I don't want to go on like a broken record, but I said that this generation is going to be defined by how consumers are treated by the big companies. And I think for me, this is going to be one of those examples of how it's done. Nintendo to the side, because I don't know what spell they've got on us, but it works.
They're exclusives.
And we just seem to ignore it. Yeah, I don't even know what we're doing there. But I think in this situation, like, PlayStation needs to seriously think about how are they going to handle this? Is it acceptable that a PlayStation controller can get drift one day, or a Microsoft controller can get drift one day on the same day they bought it, or even 5 days, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months after, and they expect the consumer, they expect us to go and pay $70, £70 on a new controller that's clearly defective? I cannot see that as being an acceptable way forward. And I think they need to either send out an updated controller, get things changed, or, yeah, start getting ready to give some people some money, because that is going to get expensive.
They need to do the Red Ring of Death treatment. Extend the warranty and fix the issue. Microsoft handled that well, even though it shouldn't have been pushed out with such an issue, but that's the kind of customer service first that we want to see. Extend the warranty, fix the problem for the people that are experiencing it now, and then fix the problem for the people that might experience it in the future once they can get their hands on the systems.
Brilliant. Well, what an annoying, frustrating story. We might as well call ourselves Games Controller Drift Weekly, because there's always a story about drift somewhere in one of our episodes. But anyway, moving on to our next story, and we were so excited when we talked about this last week.
So wrong.
We thought we'd really, really nailed it. We thought we were on the breaking edge of news in gaming. We thought, that's it, we've hacked the Microsoft plan.
Yep.
It turns out
we've peaked with our hot takes.
We were, yeah, we
peaked.
We peaked. I mean, just to remind people, that a week ago, developer 343 came out and said there will be a new way to play with each other in the Master Chief Collection. And so there were comments made about playing on Sony. There were comments made about the Epic Games Store. There were comments made regarding the Nintendo Switch, which on reflection, we got very, very excited about. Matt, what on earth does it actually turn out we've actually received?
So, First off, I guess they aren't 100% wrong on by their comment of saying there's a new way to play with each other. But it ends up being a custom game server browser. So they're implementing it into the Master Chief Collection, where similar to any other server browser, people will be able to make their custom games of, you know, Castle Wars, Zombies, the non-standard Halo games. Start up a custom game, open it up to the public, and then you go on the browse for the particular game session that you want on the particular map that you want. If you want to do Capture the Flag 24/7, all you have to do is look for that in the server browser. Now, while we are immensely disappointed in the fact that it is not coming to the Switch, this is a great update, though. Though our hot take was 100% wrong and we were disappointed, it should not take away from the great news and update this is. The custom games is one of the best aspects of Halo, I believe. When I started playing, especially during the Halo 3 era, with Forge, being able to make maps any way you want, making the game modes to fit those maps, I have played countless hours with friends of just playing Tetris on Halo 3, surprisingly. Duck Hunt in Halo 3. There was such a grand scope of imagination to play such different games within Halo 3. And now that with the Master Chief Collection, they expanded upon it. There's more items to place. You can place more of those items within the game. The game modes can be expanded upon even more. There is such a bountiful amount of games that can be made from this, and it was missing a browser, because before this you could just invite people, you had to get a group of people together or get a Discord together. So this is a fantastic update. This is a fantastic news. I can't wait to get upon this, but our hot take was extremely, extremely cold.
Extremely cold. And however good this update might have been, man, it burns.
It does.
I think it just shows once again how I just think this game would be awesome on the Switch.
Yep.
I mean, interestingly enough, I haven't actually tried this on the either the xCloud through my tablet or streaming through the Xbox app on my phone. Wonder if that's maybe the answer to my problem.
That's your Microsoft answer to the Switch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, bless them.
I do want to add in that this update is even bigger, even with the server browser. They are adding also, it took a whole decade, but they're also adding a whole nother map to Halo 3 as well. It's called Waterfall. It's from the Halo Online universe that was very short-lived and canceled, but they're adding a whole new map to Halo 3. It took almost a decade. Like, this is a great update, but like you said, Gareth, you're still a little disappointed.
I'm terribly disappointed. As Matt has cat problems.
What is she doing? He does. Climbing up my window. Cool. All right.
She's just so frustrated that Halo Master Chief Collection is not coming to Switch. It makes me want to climb a window too. That's been the first part of the show. We'll pause for some advert break and then we'll jump right back into it. So we will be back after this short break. And we're back. So we had an advert break last week so Ruben could have a chill and rest his legs because he'd been at a standing desk. This week, Matt's had to make sure his cat hasn't ripped off the blinds from around his window. You'll be glad to know the cat is okay. The blinds, less so. Right, so let's crack on with the news. So, randomly, out of nowhere, comes a news article regarding a game that was at one point considered highly controversial, had been considered done and dusted. nothing was going to happen with this game. All of a sudden, this game is revived by Destiny developers and also Halo developers. This game, of course, is 6 days in Fallujah. I mean, this game was originally penciled to come out 2009, was it, Matt?
Yeah. It was announced,
In 2009.
Yeah, so probably 2010, probably.
Yeah, probably back when games only came out like a year after they were announced. this blew me away when I actually saw it. So by Atomic Games, but by the publisher Konami.
Konami.
Wow, that's back when Konami did games.
Yeah.
that weren't Metal Gear Survive. I mean, this game is controversial for being highly realistic. That was the intention. It was supposed to be based on a true battle of the Iraq War. And it was, you know, supposed to be based on interviews with members of the military, Iraqi civilians. I mean, this was supposed to be highly realistic. Bit too close to the events, maybe. This made it quite controversial, didn't it, Matt? I mean, what's your take on this, Matt? Are you going to play it? I mean, are you... Yeah, what are you thinking?
So, I saw it and I wasn't super invested into it back when it first was announced back in 2009. I just remember that the news surrounding it is that it was super controversial. People didn't want it releasing because it was so close to the Iraq War, which is 2003, 2004. It saw a whole lot of death, including some private contractor. It was not the brightest spot in military history. And it was 2009. It was only seven, 8 years after the actual event itself. And Konami ended up dropping it. It didn't end up publishing, like you said. And what this actually reminded me of also is Medal of Honor. When it got rebranded to the Modern Warfare type of setting.
Medal of Honor Warfighter.
Yeah.
Medal of Honor Warfighter, was it?
I think Warfighter was a sequel, but just the Medal of Honor. It rebranded. It was doing the Modern Warfare because Modern Warfare came out and was such a huge hit. That actually had a lot of controversy around it, too. Now, the single player was... It was not a true story, but it was based on true stories, you know, going through Afghanistan with tier one operators. But the main controversy came from the multiplayer, because if you don't remember when it first was going to come out, it was going to be the U.S. versus, I think they actually had the name of the Taliban or the terrorist. So if you were on the Taliban side, you were killing American soldiers, and it caused a huge stir. Military bases refused to sell it because of this, so they actually reverted and changed it to terrorists or whatever the more political correct word was for the time. And that's what reminds me of now, just because it was so, the Afghanistan, Iraq stuff was so new during that time, everyone was sensitive to it, so they had to change it, and that's kind of what happened here. So I am excited for this. I'm especially with the boom of realistic games such as Escape from Tarkov, with a more less sensitive gaming community. I mean, Modern Warfare came out, Medal of Honor came out. The new Modern Warfare dealt a lot with some dark gray areas. There's been a lot of what was the game that I'm thinking of? The one where it was all within the sand and it ended up, it was a third person
shooter. Spec Ops the Line.
Spec Ops the Line. Love that game. If you haven't played Spec Ops the Line, play it. Your mind will be blown. Anyways, so yes, games like Spec Ops the Line, Modern Warfare, it really paved the way for a more realistic and possibly darker game like this to come out and be successful again. I'm excited for it. And I think another reason why I'm excited is the Halo and Destiny developers are helming it. It's it's in good hands. Though Destiny isn't my favorite because of some of the mission structures I find quite boring, but the gameplay feels just like Halo, which Halo is amazing, and all the gameplay and the action is all fantastic. The storytelling is all fantastic between both games. So it's in good hands. It's right in my genre of interest. It's in good hands, and I am excited for it. And it was a huge surprise to see it resurface literally out of nowhere.
Yeah, literally nobody, I think, was expecting this game to come out. I think controversial opinion coming up.
Uh-oh.
Games struggle to handle story.
How so?
Just saying it. A movie and, say, a book and a TV show, especially TV shows now, are able to really develop, build, and handle a story. Let's take this, for example. A battle, a real-life battle, that happened not that long ago. And I guess the balance is, okay, they may be able to tell the story. Not denying games can't tell stories. But how do you handle that sensitively when you are holding in your hand by, you know, effect the controller, the fate of whoever you're pointing, you know, the reticle at, you know? I mean, it's tricky. One of the reasons why this battle is quite controversial is because there was quite a high death toll of civilians. Just simply by being there, high levels of insurgent deaths. I guess it's sensitivity-wise, how do you handle that without that perceived notion that sometimes comes across with particularly shooter games of not glorifying violence, because we know games don't do that, but making it not a game, you know. I mean, Spec Ops The Line is probably one of the only games that's got even close to really nailing that, which made you almost go, because I remember when I did it, and I actually put the controller away and went,
"Yeah,
what have I done?
Yes. Like,
what have I actually just done?"
Oh,
and okay, if it does that, that's different. I mean, literally, I dropped the controller and went, what have I just done?
It's amazing. Well, not amazing in a good way.
Yeah, and that's that storytelling working, and that's that using the media correctly.
Would you compare it to this game? Would you compare it to the No Russian mission in Call of Duty? Or was that
sort of fine? The problem with that mission, I think, and people connecting to it, I wouldn't say it glorifies. I think it shows you the sort of twisted mind that you have to be in to be in that place to commit that sort of violence. I mean, I don't want to get into do games cause violence and all that sort of stuff, because no, I don't think they do. First off, and that's that simple. I think, like, for me, I don't want to see a multiplayer mode in this game. That isn't it. Yes. If their point is to do a story-based game on a historic battle, don't go dropping a multiplayer mode in there. Like, I don't want to see it. As soon as I see that, I go, okay, there we go. Just call it something else. Take it out of that situation. Yeah. I mean, if that makes sense, I don't want to come across too controversial with this, but yeah, that's sort of where I'm at.
So it's just like, you're afraid that they're not going to be able to walk the line correctly between gaming and doing the survivors and the overall battle justice. It's a fine line to walk, essentially.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, for me, if they really wanted to get across the horrors of this battle and what happened, and seeing it from you know, different aspects and sides, I tell you what, like, and I'm just going to throw this out there, game developer, you can take this, run with it. For me, it would be not a walking sim, but, you know, a game. You're a journalist, you know, and you're not necessarily, I'm not taking photos, but, you know, experiencing it, you know, and just seeing and exploring and witnessing. And like, then the battles that go on around those set pieces can be, you know, historically accurate to the T. You know, it informs the gamer. It talks a story. You know, do you follow the civilians? Do you follow the, you know, the coalition forces? Do you even follow the insurgencies? You know, that sort of thing. You know, but that allows you to tell a story without it being, you know, because I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, okay, it seems like this game is based on the coalition forces side, particularly the US forces side. I guess that one person that you control isn't going to be able to change the outcome of what happened in that battle. And if it does, it's then no longer historically accurate, is I guess my point. As opposed to, say, like, if it was nothing to do with that or had no close affiliations to it, then you can sort of be a bit more, flexible in what happens and what you put the player through and what you make them do and the different game modes, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, it's your hot take.
Yeah, sorry, I'll get off my box now. We're going to finish off. There has been an awful lot of news this week. I mean, I can't believe how many announcements have been made about this. So I think first off, we had the Sonic the Hedgehog movie. It went down well after that, you know, change in the eyes. just the entire character design.
Yeah.
So it's been announced that there is a second Sonic the Hedgehog movie coming out, which is crazy. Crazy for quite a few reasons. One, why were people freaked out by how Sonic looked like? In one of the TV shows, Sonic had a human girlfriend. So what are we going on about here, people? Like, if you want to talk about weird, why are we talking about how weird that is? Anyway, so there's Sonic the movie has a sequel coming out. Then the next announcement was Borderlands. A couple of people had already been noted down as people who would be starring in it. But some humongous names dropped down. We've got Kevin Hart. We've got Jack Black.
As Claptrap.
As Claptrap, yeah. Like I said to you before the show, Matt, this is dying for Dwayne The Rock Johnson to come in.
Yep.
It'll be like a Jumanji sort of reunion. It'll be great. So yeah, I mean, that's a film I'm slightly excited for. I must admit, I think Borderlands is on sale at the minute. Tempting. And then out of nowhere, Last of Us TV show starring Pedro Pascal, the absolute legend that he is, obviously, of Wonder Woman 84, that small TV show, yeah, the Mandalorian.
Yeah, yeah, no big deal.
I think some people watched it. And then, of course, him as Joel, and Bella Ramsey of Game of Thrones as Ellie. Now, she got a little bit of flack for not looking like Ellie. Oh, come on, people.
Well, Heath Ledger also got a lot of flack for not looking like Joker, and look how that turned out.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, Pedro Pascal has some, you know, history in escorting somebody he doesn't know around the world.
Beautiful.
Which is an incredible tie I've just made. But it got us thinking, didn't it, Matt?
It got us thinking...
reminiscing. I'll come to you in a minute about your opinions on some of these things. But it got us thinking, listeners, man, movies based on video games.
What a dangerous topic.
When has that ever ended well?
Yeah.
Before we go through that, Matt, tell us, what's your feelings on Borderlands, Last of Us, Sonic movie too. Oh, and also I forgot that Monster Hunter movie as well.
Yeah, so I'll just do this broad statement because there are other gaming-related TV movie stuff coming out. There was a Cyberpunk Netflix anime that was announced, which Netflix has actually been doing really well. They did Castlevania, which was fantastic. The Witcher was a huge hit. And Dragon Dogma that came out on Netflix, which is probably in the same anime style, was actually really good as well. The Ubisoft is doing, just pushing their franchises. There's another Assassin's Creed movie that was announced, a TV series that was announced, the Rabbids movie was announced, a second Tomb Raider sequel was announced. The first one was almost a spitting image of the rebooted first one. Brothers in Arms, Halo has gotten some attention as well. Resident Evil, the reboot has been announced, which is good. So I guess to your question is, I am excited. I know when I was growing up, I was always excited about them, but I knew that the whole video game movie genre was not good. But this is exciting that Netflix and this whole smaller, like these being able to take self-contained stories and make them bigger and better. It seems like they're actually putting real effort and real star power to these movies, and we can see if it really pans out. I guess I say that because there have been other star-studded video game movies, but it seems like they're trying to hold more to the actual integrity of the game this time rather than just completely rewriting it and let it breathe. A lot of these video game shows have been done on TV series, I think, have done really well because it gives them the extra time to expand the universe. So I know that The Last of Us is an amazing franchise that everyone absolutely loves. I have not had the privilege of playing through it yet. I have not read anything about it. I don't know how it ends. I am saving it because I want to play it. But I'm excited to see these. Borderlands has always been a franchise that I've enjoyed. The Sonic movie, I did not get around to watching it, but I've heard for a video game movie, it was enjoyable, is probably the best way to put it. Monster Hunter movie, I like the Monster Hunter franchise. I do not like the director that made the Monster Hunter movie, so because he made the Resident Evil movies that I am not a huge fan of. I enjoyed the first Resident Evil movie. I think that was a competent film, video game film. Every movie after that, I got a headache and I hated everything about it. And it, the same director is making Monster Hunter, I really did not see any interest in it. So what are your thoughts? How are you feeling about this? I mean, we're going to go through a long list of games that we put down that we remember, and we're going to see how we feel and what we think of them and stuff like that. But like with these newer movies coming out, how are you feeling on this whole video games making a resurgence within the screen world of small screen and big screen?
So I agree. Loved the Castlevania series.
It. Fantastic.
Great. I thought that was brilliant. Yes. Yeah, I thought that was great. So the idea of a Last of Us TV show sounds great, except I won't watch it because it's probably going to be terrifying. I mean, Last of Us, I can take Last of Us, actually, because it's sort of, I mean, not many people, I think, would consider it horror. But it is scary at points, but I can cope with it. But you just know that the TV show will be amped up so much because they'll want jump scares and the buzz and all that sort of stuff. And oh, please don't. And please put a giraffe in it. Monster Hunter movie. I've said before that I really enjoy Monster Hunter. I think it's really great. Wow, this flopped hard. So I think it was 3 out of 10 IGN gave it. I think its average score is on Rotten Tomatoes, I think, is 49%.
It's just the director. Mm. It's his style. It's just easy cash in. I'm going to go off a tangent. I don't like the director and the way he does movies.
But just to let you know that film is considered canon now. So that's...
Stop.
So if you jumped onto... Nope, not joking. It's canon. So I think there is actually a quest line in Monster Hunter World.
No!
That harks to it. So, good luck with that one. Sonic the movie, never saw it, probably never will. Borderlands, yeah, to be honest, it just made me want to start playing the games again. Yeah. So
which is a good advertising strategy.
I guess my question is it going to be cel shaded or will it be live action?
That's a good question, because the cel shaded is one of the bigger features of Borderlands that everyone kind of accompanies it with. So that will be interesting.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, a mod I saw this week for Cyberpunk had it in a Borderlands cel-shaded world.
I saw that.
And actually, it looked incredible.
Yep.
It looks stunning.
Even the first Borderlands still holds up. And that's the thing about cel-shaded. Mm. If done right, it holds up for a long period. Even like Legend of Zelda Wind Waker still looks gorgeous.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's our opinion on those games. And it got us thinking, what are some games that we could talk about that have come out over the years? So I'm just going to throw some of these names out for you, Matt. Resident Evil. Obviously, we know your opinion on them by now.
Yeah.
Street Fighter. Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
Lara Croft. Super Mario Brothers. Doom. Assassin's Creed. Max Payne. Hitman. Warcraft. Need for Speed, which I even forgot to come out, and the Prince of Persia film, Sands of Time. I think it was actually called Sands of Time. It's like asking a parent to choose its favourite child, or nothing like that. Which one of these, Matt, was your favourite?
Man, that's hard to say. So let's just start off. Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter are not good movies. They're going to be listed under the guilty pleasure movies, and I think we can both agree on that.
I think about 8 of these could be put down as under the guilty pleasure list.
Honestly, probably all of them could probably be put down on the guilty pleasure list. So I guess I'll start with, I think the most well-made, best video game movie is probably Prince of Persia. I think it kept the essence, the setting, the feel of Prince of Persia, and had a decent story to it. And I think that is the most well-made video game franchise video. Favorite. I enjoyed the Doom movie. Because I enjoyed watching Dwayne Johnson. He's a fun actor. But it had a very Resident Evil vibe to it, and I didn't want that. The first time watching, I was like, these aren't demons. These are zombies. This is basically Resident Evil in space. So I enjoyed watching it for Dwayne Johnson. It was okay to see some Doom stuff, some Easter eggs getting thrown at you. I guess my favorite part is the first-person shooter portion. That is literally the best part of the entire movie, and if they just made that into a movie for like 20-30 minutes, I would be okay with that. Max Payne, I hate to say this, I enjoyed it. I know it's not a great movie and people of the Max Payne franchise don't enjoy it because it's not very Max Payne-y, but it's fun to see Marky Mark fight demons. I never saw the Need for Speed. The Warcraft movie, the recent one, well, I shouldn't say recent, the one came out 4 years ago or 3 years ago.
Yeah, about that, yeah.
It was a good-looking movie. I enjoyed it. I'm not a huge Warcraft fan. Like, Ruben, this is probably a good question for Ruben because he's a huge World of Warcraft fan to see if it tied in with the whole story and lore. But I enjoyed it, and that kind of rolls over to the Final Fantasy movies. The last one for Final Fantasy 15, I actually enjoyed. It gave a deeper setting, background information for the game itself. All the other ones just couldn't hold my interest. We can go on. The Lara Croft movies, I just didn't watch. The Resident Evil movie, like you said, you already know. The first one was competent and was actually a competent, average movie. And then everything after that was just garbage, including the storyline. Like, what was that storyline even about? At this, it was just, and it took characters from Resident Evil that I loved and ruined them. It was just, and that's why I didn't watch the Monster Hunter movie either. So I'm going to throw it back to you while I gather some more thoughts on some of these movies. But Super Mario Brothers, how did I forget that one? I enjoyed it because it had Super Mario characters in it. But looking back, it's not a Super Mario's Brother movie. But, you know, as a little Tiny Matt. I enjoyed it. I haven't watched it recently. It's probably best if I don't, because it would ruin any fond memories that I do have of it. Probably the only portion I liked was Yoshi, and I've seen some screenshots, and Yoshi's still scary in of itself. Garrett just holds up a screenshot of Yoshi as I talk. Yeah, he's basically a dinosaur, like a real life Jurassic Park dinosaur. What are your go through the list? What are there any other movies that aren't on this list that you did or did not enjoy? I remember like the Sonic TV series. I didn't mind the Sonic TV series when it came out either.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I can't think of any others off the top of my head. I mean, we tried to smash through these before the show. I mean, the Resident Evil films. I actually watched those because they weren't scary.
Yeah,
they just were really brutal and gory, to be honest.
But they're so shaky. Like, the last one almost made me nauseous because the shaky camera. Yeah. So, and this is the day after John Wick. And John Wick is, like, the standard for action movies now to film.
Poor films. I mean, maybe the reboot, which is a Netflix series, isn't it?
I think it is.
Aren't they doing a Netflix series?
Yeah. Netflix is really trying to corner... since they lost the whole Marvel Daredevil stuff, they really need to fill that void, and I think they're trying to corner that video game market. But, I mean, Castlevania did well, and Dragon Dogma, I love, and then Witcher did well, so I have faith that Netflix will do it justice. Plus, it's going to hopefully override those terrible Resident Evil movies.
Probably won't. Nothing will ever get that out of my head. And neither will Street Fighter and Jean-Claude Van Damme. Oh, wow.
Classic. Classic.
I mean, I even want to go and watch it now for a comedy. It's a comedy film to me. It's brilliant.
It is. There's nothing short of a comedy.
I seem to remember as well about 19 Mortal Kombat films and a TV series, maybe? I can't remember.
I don't know. I remember that one, Annihilation... I don't remember how many there were.
I remember them being awfully good. Like, awful, but good. Lara Croft. I mean, the reboot was pretty cool. It certainly fit in with the reboot trilogy as well. I thought that was pretty cool. The Angelina Jolie ones were a bit... I mean, they were a bit crazy in that weird things happened, as they did in the original Lara Croft game. So I guess that's pretty cool. Super Mario Brothers film. Yeah, perfect.
Perfect. Doom, 10 out of 10.
I never watched an awful lot of the Doom. Did I watch all of it? I might have watched all of it, actually. But that was certainly... I don't think it came out at the same time as... But that was certainly heavily inspired by Doom 3.
Yes, it was.
Which was a lot more... Which was a lot more a survival horror Doom.
But it's a simple concept. They didn't have monsters coming from hell. How can they mess that up? But
that's a pretty... Yeah, be on Mars and then have, you know, monsters coming from hell. Pretty easy. And then just get Dwayne The Rock Johnson in it now. He'd be awesome.
Yeah, especially now.
Assassin's Creed film, I didn't think was a total dumpster fire. Well, it was pretty cool.
Positive.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Do you think they could do better with the sequel coming out? Like, what could they improve upon that would make you more appealing to the sequel?
Don't produce it.
Don't? Wow. You didn't like it that much?
So there's nothing that could redeem it? Yeah, no, I don't think there is. I don't think there is anything that could redeem that as a potential... even TV show. Yeah. I went there. That was a bit hard cutting.
Yeah.
Max Payne, yeah, Marky Mark did well.
Mark.
Hitman. I haven't watched the Hitman ones. The Warcraft one I saw, I agree with you. Incredible looking game.
Yep.
Film. I thought it looked incredible. Didn't know a huge amount of what on earth was going on.
No.
But it looked good. Need for Speed. I'm not even going to give that even a minute's conversation. And the Prince of Persia film, yeah, I agree with you. It was pretty decent. That was pretty decent. So, yeah, I mean, what can I say? Matt, what can we say about these films?
That they are, in fact, films that were made, that were produced, and were shown at some point in time, and there are some people that enjoyed them. I think that's going to be the best way I could put that.
Before we move on, is there... I didn't put this in the show notes, listeners, so I always like doing this because it's what makes me laugh. Matt, is there a game you would like to see either a TV show or a film produced of?
That hasn't already been announced?
That hasn't already been announced. Or if it has been announced, how would you do it differently? Like, don't just choose Last of Us. That's boring.
Yeah, well, I say that because I guess there has been rumors or something of Gears of War. I would really enjoy Gears of War coming in one of those formats. Dave Bautista has been like a super supportive role in that. He wants to play Marcus Fenix, and I think the setting is ripe to go deeper into the lore of it. Of course, I've always wanted to see Halo ever since the person who made District 9 made those Halo shorts, and the ODST, Halo ODST commercial, that was almost like Saving Private Ryan, but in like the Halo universe. That is like prime for even more of that. I'm trying to think. Titanfall, I would love to see, even if it's like an anime, like an anime franchise of some sort, an animated. I love Titanfall so much, and I'm waiting for them to make a third one, so I would not mind seeing them expand upon that universe even more. What about you? What do you got in mind? Since you thought of this, I'm sure you have something already thought of.
Actually, I don't, so I'm terrible now that you've thrown me on the spot. But I did. We are stupid. We didn't mention the Witcher TV series.
I touched on, because Netflix did. I guess it was a huge hit for Netflix.
Yeah, I felt it flopped.
Wait, you personally felt it flopped? Like, you didn't like it?
I didn't enjoy it entirely.
Oh.
Once again, like, that was unnecessarily scary. I mean, I will be honest, right? I will be honest. And I'm not just saying this because I know Matt will like it. I think Control would do well as a TV show.
It's like the Remedy universe.
Oh, imagine the Remedy universe. I mean, Quantum Break was just its own thing. Alan Wake could look good. That would be good. Otherwise, one I've just thought about, I would definitely like to see an anime of a game you all might remember me talking about called Astral Chain. That would be pretty cool. That universe, yeah. Yeah, I quite like that, actually.
The Control could be like one episode is for each different item in it, every world event. That's a good answer. And I have Astral Chain on my wish list, but it never goes on sale. If it goes on sale, it's only for like $5. I'm waiting for it to go on a bigger sale before I buy it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, welcome to the Nintendo eShop. Game of the week.
Wait, you got one more. You have to give me one more. I gave you three. You got to give me one more.
Oh, man.
Yep, I got Titanfall, Halo, and Gears of War. You got to give me one more. Because I'm lumping Alan Wake and Control into one answer. Because that's going to be Remedy's universe.
Of course you are. there's going to be one, and I'm going to think about it, and then I'm going to absolutely kick my... Actually, maybe Rainbow Six, or, you know, like a Rainbow Six universe storyline, you know, going all the way back to, was it Lone Wolf? Can't remember what they were all called. Yeah, back on the PlayStation 1, like, you know, taking missions from all of them. Because we all know we enjoy watching, like, I don't know, Special Forces style TV shows and stuff like that. Yeah. And imagine that, but with Rainbow Six Siege, well, Rainbow Six Universe.
Yeah.
Give it to me.
It almost like the Amazon Prime Jack Ryan, but in like a Rainbow Six universe.
Yeah. And it doesn't need to be the Siege characters. It doesn't need to be Ash. And no, you can
bring people from Wild Ghost Recon into it, Splinter Cell. You can bring in the whole Ubisoft universe. That's beautiful. Yeah. Look at you. I pushed you and you made a good decision. Good for you.
Even the rabbits. Right, so game of the week. Well, pretty easy one for us this week, isn't it?
Again.
It's Immortals Fenyx Rising again. We'll try and make it different next week, maybe. We'll try. I mean, I've said pretty much everything I can with this game. I love it. I enjoy it. I'm going to try and wrap the story up this week, I think. I don't know how long that'll actually take me to do because I don't know how many hours into the story I actually am. I think I've heard it's about 25 to 30 hours to complete, which considering you're 35 hours in and you haven't completed.
But I do a lot of the side stuff, but I do want to touch on that. The more time I spent with it, I want to harken back to what you said before, is that I think the puzzles are very well balanced. I've come across some that are a little samey, but I think it strikes a perfect balance of not being too difficult, but not being too easy. Easy enough for me to not feel like I have to sit there and think about it for minutes and minutes on end. But then some of them are a little, it's the perfect balance. The more powers I've opened up, the combat, I still hold to what I said before, is I enjoy the combat more than Breath of the Wild. And as I get more abilities, that becomes even more apparent. It becomes more fun. It almost gets to a point where it is almost like Devil May Cry-ish. Devil May Cry, Ninja Gaiden-ish, where you're just obliterating these mythical creatures with combos and powers. And it is, it's fun and enjoyable, and it's a great game. I still love enjoying it. I still love traveling. It still looks amazing. It still controls really, really well. It's just an all-around great game, and if you can't tell by it being the game of the week for 2 weeks in a row, try it. I've said this before in the last episode. I've said it now. There's a demo, a free demo. Just try it. Give it a try. We're not sponsored by Ubisoft, but it is a fantastic game. If you liked Breath of the Wild, I don't have much else to add. I've grown to love more of the characters. I'm still laughing as I meet each of the gods that we have to save. It's just a fun game. I don't know what else I could say to give it more praise.
And I currently have a zebra as my mount.
No way.
So what more could you want from a game?
See, that's so weird. I don't have a lot of mounts. I fly everywhere.
Well, I fly everywhere. And then when I remember that I can have my mount turn up anywhere I want instead of me having to go to a stable to find it, or I've left it on the side of a hill again. And then feeling bad and then having to pay to get it to come back to the ship anyway. I just hold down the X button and it appears. Immortals Fenyx Rising, that's our game of the week. Please definitely check it out. It's time for trivia. Right. Matt, you redeemed yourself last week.
I did. I am proud of myself for slightly redeeming myself. And Ruben got to be a part of my thinking process, so that's always interesting.
Which is terrifying to think, because he was like, wow, this is one of my favorite parts. I get to, you know, think in the mind of Matt, and it's like, that is a terrifying place to go into. Throw the questions away, Matt. Please tell me they're easy.
I think they're easy to the point where...
Oh, no.
There's only one multiple choice, unfortunately. But I do think they're easy.
Whoa!
Yeah. So, if you seem to be struggling, I'll try to make the other ones multiple choice. But I think they're so easy, you don't need them. So...
Okay.
We kind of talked about the Halo movie, we talked about Master Chief Collection, and we talked about the Bungie people, so I've kind of centered this one around the whole Bungie games franchise developers. Alright, so this is the first question, no multiple choice, should be super easy. What is Master Chief's real name?
Oh.
Nothing? Oh no. Do you not know at all, or is it like just you're just having a brain fart?
Let me think for a minute. I mean, it has been a while since I've played the Master Chief Collection.
Do you know the numbers in his name?
No. No. No, I've gone blank on that one.
Oh no. I'm so
Yeah.
sorry. Okay. It's gonna be John 117.
John 117. Okay. Yeah. Do you know what's really annoying? I think at the start of the Xbox Unlocked IGN show, I think they had him do a voice over thing to start the podcast off, and I think he says that's John one
Does
once.
he?
Oh man, I can hear him saying it. Oh, I don't think I'm gonna do well.
I believe in you. Okay, so I try to make this one into a multiple choice now because I don't have faith in you after that John 117 drop. what is the rank of Master Chief? I'll see if you can get it without multiple choice first. Do you know it or no?
No, throw the multiple choice just so I can at least use that for some deduction.
Okay. Is he a senior airman, lance corporal, a brigadier, a petty officer, sergeant, or a corporal?
How many multiple choice options did we give me?
I gave you
I'm
six.
Wow, okay. I'm going to take a leaf from Matt's book. Can you say them again?
Yes, it's going to be a petty officer, a master chief petty officer, sergeant, corporal, brigadier, lance corporal, or senior airman. Say them again.
I'm trying to remember conversations from the games.
So you got Master Chief, Petty Officer, Sergeant, Corporal, Brigadier, Lance Corporal, or Senior Airman.
See, I'm drawn to petty officer. Did you say no?
I said okay.
Oh, right. I was going to say, I was like, wow. Because I feel like I remember him saying airman. But I don't think that's in relation to himself. No, go petty officer.
Master Chief Petty Officer.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you went with your gut because it is Master Chief Petty Officer.
Okay, good, good.
It is Petty Officer. Good for you. I was scared when you were going to Airman. I was like, no, go
I
back,
can
Eric.
remember him saying in like a cutscene or something, Airman, and I think that's where I was going, like, ooh. Yeah.
Okay. What was Bungie's first game they ever developed? Marathon, Myth, Operation Desert Storm, or Minotaur, the Labyrinth of Crit? Crete? Crete? Cree.
So when you started that question, I thought I knew the answer.
What was the answer you thought before the multiple
Not
choice?
one of them.
Oh, really? So what was the game?
Yeah. I can't. Now I'm thinking. I thought I'd know the game when I heard it. Say them again.
The first one is Marathon, Myth, Operation Desert Storm, or Minotaur, the Labyrinths of Crete, Crete. Someone's gonna hem me up for that pronounce, but
Feel like it's between D and B.
D and B, so between Myth and Minotaur. So you got Marathon, Myth,
Operation Desert Storm.
Operation Desert Storm, or Minotaur, the Labyrinths. All right, so which one are you 100% know that it's not it? Is there any?
A.
You 100% know it's not Marathon.
I 100% feel like it's not Marathon.
Okay. So what's so what are you deciding between? I'm trying to help your thought process here.
B and D.
B and D.
I'm going to go D. And I don't necessarily know why I'm going with D. Myth. I think I'm mixing myth up with another game. Yeah, I think I'm trying. I think I'm thinking of Myst. slightly. Yeah. Go D.
D. The Minotaur?
Minotaur. Yeah.
It is Operation Desert Storm.
Wow, okay.
Their operation...
Was that the team-based shooter?
Yep, in 1991 was their first game, Operation Desert Storm. And you were close, the Minotaur one was their second game in 1992. Marathon came out, that was their first-person shooter one in 1994. And then Myth was the RTS one that came out in 1997.
Wow, okay. So I'm just going to say, right... I didn't even think they'd been around that long. That was what was confusing me about Operation Desert Storm. I'm like, that's first Gulf War. I was like, what? When were they? So I should have deduced that. Oh, man. Okay.
All right. So this one's like a fill in the blank. You've played Destiny, right?
Yeah.
What are the three?
One or two.
What are the three classes in Destiny?
Oh, right. I just need to come up with it.
Yep. Just fill me in. What are the three classes?
Not Hunter. Is it Hunter? Yeah, I think one of them's Hunter. Oh, man.
You know this.
Because you get the different depending on it.
I'm really sorry. I really thought these would be easier for you.
I mean, like, it has been a while since I played Destiny, but I'm sure if I thought about it for long enough.
So you have gotten.
What's his name?
You have got Hunter.
So I've
right.
got the one.
You got Hunter right. So the Hunter one, do you know what their abilities are? Maybe that might...
No, can't remember. It's been that long since I've really played it.
I feel like... I feel bad that...
Oh no, don't feel bad. Oh, come on. I feel like it's... There. It's there in my brain. Somewhere. And it's going to kick me when you say
I believe it. In you. So the Hunter had the Gunslinger, the Night Stalker, the Revenant.
Oh, yeah.
So the other one of the other ones has the Striker, the Sentinel, Sunbreaker, and Behemoth subclasses.
Yeah, because I always played Hunter and Gunslinger. Well, in my last runners on Destiny 2.
So one of them is the tank of the classes. It focuses more on like aggressive strategies.
Yeah, I know. I can see him.
It starts with the T.
Titan.
Good. All right. Now what's the last one?
Is it Warlock? No.
It's is Warlock. It? Yeah.
Okay.
Where did there that come
I
from?
Knew it was in there. They were in there. Oh, man. I think that's worth 3 points.
Yes, that's 3 points. You got it. Good for you. Gifted. You heard it first here.
I need
listeners.
A beer now.
Gareth finally scored 4 points.
Mom! I did it. Cool. Well, that was the most stressful, felt like 3 hours of my life.
Yeah, I really didn't mean it to be that stressful. I'm sitting here like, oh my goodness. Maybe it's because I shouldn't think about it like this, but maybe because I think it might be easy, maybe might not translate quite to you.
Maybe. I mean, no, I think that's just one of those where I think that's probably, like, the classes on Destiny were in my head. They just
weren't coming out.
Had been pushed back. Because I, yeah, like I say, it's not that I didn't enjoy that game. I just hadn't played that for, I bet, for over a year at least. At least over a year. So, I don't know. Oh, well. Well, actually, not oh, well. That was pretty good. I'm used to saying oh, well after I've done trivia. That's been another episode. Matt, where can the good, good listeners talk to us, including, yeah, setting up, yeah, for what we started off the show with questions and all that sort of stuff. Where can the good people talk to us?
So the good people, the good listeners, can find us on all aspects of social media. We really encourage you guys to get into touch with one of these social media aspects, similar to how we talked about with Ruben and Davila. We really like to bring in our reviewer questions at games. We really encourage people to get involved with this podcast. The podcast isn't just mine and Gareth's. It's all of our listeners as well. So one of the two biggest ones is probably Facebook and Discord. We opened up our Discord to the community under Gaming News Weekly. We also have an Instagram, a Twitter, and then we have an email. All these aspects is that you can ask us questions or bring up questions that we can ask during the trivia section, games that you want us to cover or play that you've played that you want us to have our thoughts on it, or like what Ruben did is bringing up news-related gaming-related news that we could cover. So we really encourage you guys just to be a part of this. We enjoy bringing you guys into it.
Oh, yeah, and that's why Matt doesn't do the intro to
the show.
But there was that one week. There was that one week where we were Gaming Weekly News.
Gaming Weekly News.
Back in the good old days. That was like the fourth episode. Forgive me, everyone. Yeah, leave reviews. If you enjoyed this, let us know. If you didn't enjoy this, let us know, but don't leave a review. I'm joking. let us know. Anyway, we're always looking to improve. We always want to do better, whatever that is. You know, we'll look into it if we can. That always makes a huge difference. And it encourages us, you know, because we do this. This is a passion project. We don't do this to be rich and famous, because Matt's already rich from scalping. we don't want to be famous. So, we do this out of a passion project. So you guys giving us good feedback, do you know what? Just, yeah, encourages us, and we want more of that. We like that. So that would be awesome. But once again, it's been a great episode, Matt. It's been good. We've covered some good stuff. We've talked about movies. Man, I didn't do terribly on trivia.
Nope. Not this week.
So this has been your Gaming News Weekly.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.